Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend in the sunshine in Kent. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, July the 13th. And our top story today, a man's due in court charged with murder after a body was found in a suitcase in Woodland near Rochester. Well, reporter Joe Crossley has been covering this story and joins me on today's episode. Joe, firstly, can you tell us when the discovery was made?
It kind of all goes back to the Met Police investigating a possible murder in Wandsworth on Thursday around about 11 p.m. They went to a property there and found that there was no one inside, but they had found signs of that someone had come to harm there. They then basically they were then told by Medway Police that two men had arrived at the police station there, and they then travelled down. Once they were at Medway Police Station, they arrested two men. They were then sent to Borstal Recreational Ground, which is in Rochester, where they then discovered the suitcase and a body of a man inside it.
And what's this area of Rochester like, Joe? Because you've been there, haven't you?
There was actually children playing football, which from like a stone's throw away from the police search. I remember I have actually played football there myself, so it's been used for years and years and years as a football ground. We've actually been told as well that it was used being used for a teddy bear hunt on the day that the police were sent there. So it's well used. There's a play park there. It's just off the River Medway. It's a really nice area. So a lot of the residents basically told me how unusual it was to see all these police officers there, and obviously how surprised they were something like this has happened in their area.
And where exactly was the suitcase discovered?
So the police have officially said it was in a wooded part of the park. I would kind of describe it, if you're coming away from the children's play park, it's sort of the top field, which is sort of away from the roads, if that makes sense.
Finally, Joe, what's the latest from police on those charged?
Joshua Miller of 32 of Kingfisher Court, Wandsworth, was charged with murder, as well as prevented a lawful and decent burial. Meanwhile, Jamie Cooper, who is a bit younger, with the same address, was also charged with preventing a lawful and decent burial. He wasn't charged with murder. A third man was also arrested on suspicion of assisting an offender. He's currently out on bail. The two men who have been charged are due in Medway magistrates today.
Joe, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Detectives have been given more time to question a man over the murder of former Maidstone MP Anne Widdecombe. The 28-year-old was arrested in Rotherham on Saturday night, 200 miles from her home in Dartmoor. Officers say they're not looking for anyone else. Matt Longman is the Assistant Chief Constable of Devon and Cornwall Police. He's given this update.
Our investigation into the death of 78-year-old Anne Widdecombe has continued to develop over the past 24 hours. Shortly after 9 p.m. on Saturday the 11th of July, a 28-year-old white British man was arrested at an address in Rotherham, South Yorkshire, on suspicion of the murder of Miss Widdecombe. We were supported by officers from Counter-Terrorism Police North East and South Yorkshire Police, who carried out the arrest on behalf of Devon and Cornwall. Miss Widdecombe's family have been informed of the updates and continue to be supported by our specialist officers. Our thoughts remain with her family and friends at this incredibly difficult time. At this point, there is still no information to suggest that this is a terrorism-related incident, and at this point, we are not looking for anyone else in connection with this murder. We retain primacy of this investigation, and detectives remain open-minded about the potential motive. At this stage, there is nothing to suggest that it was politically motivated. A cordon is still in place as officers continue inquiries at the scene, and we anticipate that this will be the case for the next few days. The local community can also expect to see a heightened police presence in the coming weeks to provide reassurance to them. However, I wish to reassure you that we do not have any information to suggest that there is any wider threat to the public at this time. We're grateful to our colleagues in South Yorkshire for the assistance that they provided, and they'll continue to support through our investigation. Over the past few days, we've received in excess of 120 reports of information to assist us in our investigation into our major incident public portal. I'd just like to thank all those who've taken the time to contribute that information and ask anyone who has not yet submitted any information that they hold to do so as a priority. We're aware of online and public speculation, particularly with regards to motive. Again, I urge people not to share or engage with that speculation. It's unhelpful. It doesn't aid our investigation, and particularly it's distressing to the family and friends of Ms. Widdicombe. We understand that there's a huge appetite for information, but progressing and protecting the integrity of our investigation is paramount now. We recognise there is still some way to go in this case, and the release of any information will be a decision made on an operational basis. I would like to thank the local communities, the wider public, and the media for their ongoing support and patience. I would ask them to continue to support us in the next stage of this investigation.
And a digital book of condolence has been opened by Maidstone Borough Council for people to leave tributes. A 19-year-old man's being treated in a London hospital after being found injured in Ramsgate. Police and forensic teams taped off the part of the pavement in Queen Street early yesterday morning. We're told investigations are ongoing. A sex offender from Sittingbourne has appeared back in the dock just weeks after being released from jail. Nathan Uren was locked up early this year for having indecent images of children and ignoring court restrictions. The 24-year-old from Kemsley, but who now lives in Canterbury, is expected to be recalled to prison and will return to court later this month. Meantime, a man who took photos of a schoolgirl on his phone then tried to stop her leaving a train in Paddock Wood has been sentenced. Lutfi Ekiki stood in the aisle to block her path after she challenged him on the service from Yalding last October. The 31-year-old, who lives on Tunbridge Wells High Street, has been given a 2-year community order after already serving time on remand.
Kent Online reports.
Next on today's episode, and the Kent MP has warned British holiday makers could potentially die in 12-hour queues this summer unless the EU suspends its new border checks. The entry-exit system caused delays at Dover at the start of the May half term. Well, Herne Bay and Sandwich MP Sir Roger Gale is concerned ambulances will get blocked by traffic and be unable to reach medical emergencies as tourists swelter in their cars while heading abroad this summer. He's written an article in the Times, but also spoke about the issue in the Commons last week.
As the Minister has indicated, over the spring bank holiday, there was chaos at Dover and at St Pancras and at the Channel Tunnel because of the failure of the EES. The French authorities were quite simply not prepared or able to implement the facilities properly. Given the predictions based upon bookings for the coming season, which starts in 10 days' time, the authorities are now predicting that it is likely there could be 12-hour delays to passengers and therefore, accordingly, to freight, which affects our business. That is simply not acceptable. Will the Minister now, before it's too late, approach again the French authorities and suggest that a waiver must be put in place before the holiday season starts so that we don't face again the chaos that we faced in May?
Minister. I'm grateful for that question, and I want to recognise that it is a shared goal for ourselves, I know for locally affected members of Parliament, and indeed for the French, to make sure we don't see scenes of huge queues. And we know the impact that has on individuals and on businesses. What we have done, and the Honourable Gentleman talks about more efforts, and we will, I can assure him, be doing this on a daily basis, as we already are, both with France and with the Commission, pushed on this fundamental point. Because whilst this is a complex scheme, and we're seeing that in its operation, it comes down to a fundamental point, that when you get to peak volumes, and the Honourable Gentleman mentions the volumes that are coming shortly, it fundamentally comes down to a question, Mr Speaker, of a prioritisation of flow or a prioritisation of compliance with the scheme. scheme itself. We push very heavily. We will do every day between now and then, I can say that to the Right Honourable Gentleman, to make sure that the French use flexibilities available to prioritise flow. That's what I want, that's what he wants, and I think that's in everybody's interest.
Meantime, Operation Brock is going to be installed on the M20 between Maidstone and Ashford overnight. It's used to control traffic heading to the port if there are any delays crossing the channel. A woman's been sentenced after joining a vigilante group and trying to kick down the door of the wrong flat in Dover. They mistakenly thought the people inside were selling drugs to children. A court heard the family living there, including youngsters, were left terrified during the ordeal in December 2024. Well, 35-year-old Sadie Knight from Jezreels Road in Gillingham admitted criminal damage and will have to pay £500 in compensation. Five fire engines have been sent to tackle a blaze in a field near Ashford. It broke out on Amage Road in Wye and caused a lot of smoke yesterday evening. Grass and undergrowth also caught alight on London Road in Osbridge near Faversham on Saturday. The UK's public spending watchdog is planning to investigate the finances of the Lower Thames Crossing project. Plans for the road tunnel linking the A2 near Gravesend with Essex were approved last year. Campaigners say the cost of building it has soared to £11 billion. They're questioning whether the publicly funded part is good value for money for taxpayers. And bookings open today for young people to get the meningitis B vaccine. It follows a deadly outbreak centred around Canterbury in March. Students who are due to start university this year are being urged to get two doses of the jab.
Kent Online reports.
Tributes have been paid to a much-loved man who was known for walking his ferrets around a village near Ashford. Graham Hymers from Wye has died suddenly at the age of 59. His family say he was a true animal lover and would have around 15 pets at any given time. He's been described as lovable, loud and lively. A date for repairs at a junction in Maidstone riddled with almost a dozen potholes has finally been set. Resurfacing works at the mini roundabout in Pennenden Heath will take place over four nights later this month. Kent Online say the multiple voids have been reported more than 30 times to KCC. A Kent farmer's released CCTV of youngsters throwing eggs around his car park, describing it as wasteful and disrespectful. Doug Wanstall runs a 24-hour farm vending machine which allows people to pick up fresh produce from his site in Aldington near Ashford. He says it was disappointing to see some of the eggs purchased there being used to cause unnecessary disruption. Now, a Medway woman's been chosen to help create a tiny book that's going to be sent to the moon. The project will include pieces of work by international artists aiming to send a bit of Earth's culture into space. The moon-bound book is only 1 centimetre in size and is due to blast off as part of a mission later this year. Well, Kat Pegler has been telling us about her contribution.
So it's basically a collective of international artists that are they've created this tiny, tiny book that's being sent to the moon, and it's like the first one since, I think, the Bible. It's really exciting, and it's great to be part of like the first bit of culture to go to the moon.
How did you get involved in that project?
I'm part of this collective internationally called the Space Ecologies Art and Design Network. So it's basically groups of like astronauts and designers and people thinking about the future and innovation. So yeah, it was through that, and it was through Royal College of Art as well.
And tell me about your art in particular that's going to be included in the book.
Yeah, so it's a poem and it's a piece of artwork, and basically the question posed to us was like, how does the moon see the Earth? And I think it's just really interesting that we've kind of stopped imagining, stopped looking up. So it was all about like, let's try and imagine again and like think about hopeful futures. And the piece of artwork is basically some single-celled organisms that I took under a microscope, and then it's kind of been expanded to imply that it's like they're also part of the bigger picture, they're part of space, so they're like a planet within themselves.
Must be amazing as an artist and as a poet to know that a piece of your work is going into space and is going to be left on the moon.
Yeah, I've always had this strange connection with the moon. I think like when you can see it, it's this really like grounding source of like, I don't know, it's beautiful. And yeah, just to be able to look up and think, oh wow, there's something up there, like this connection together, it's really nice.
And talk me through the logistics of it, because I've seen a picture of the book and it's teeny tiny, isn't it? So how does it kind of work getting everything in it?
Yeah, so it's been created like really small. I think they hired someone like that's a specialist in doing tiny, tiny things to create this book. And that's been traveling on exhibitions like across Europe. the last few months. Then it's going into a tiny pyramid, which is then going up. And I think that's like been worked with the astronauts to work out how to achieve that. It's all very sciencey.
Yeah, all very technical and scientific.
Yeah.
What's the kind of aim of this project, and how important is it to have art and culture, you know, highlighted in this way?
Yeah, I think at the moment so far, like moon missions have been really, they're getting more business based, they're getting more, there's this competition for like colonizing space essentially. I think arts and culture should play a really big part in like having critical thinking and provoking thought around like what's the implications of humans and space interconnecting. And I think it's just like so important to have the role of art and like the power that it can have in achieving that. So yeah. It's great.
And you can follow us on socials today to see aerial images showing how some of Kent's recognisable sites have changed over the last six decades. Folkestone Golf Course, Tunbridge Town Centre and Gillingham's Priestfield Stadium have all undergone changes since the 60s. You can also see how new buildings have sprung up, including Hempstead Valley Shopping Centre and the William Harvey Hospital in Ashford.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and fans across Kent have been celebrating England reaching the World Cup semi-finals. Thomas Tuchel's side came from behind to beat Norway 2-1 in Miami on Saturday night. These supporters watched the match at the Beauty of Bath pub in Sittingbourne.
It's just an unbelievable game, unbelievable match. Jude Bellingham, best player of all time.
We made hard work of it. Second half wasn't as good as I wanted to be. Jude, what a man. What a man Jude Bellingham is. We're going to go to New York. I'm confident. We'll beat Argentina or Switzerland. Come on again! So many emotions. No, England fans going into it. I was confident, but wow. It didn't happen. I thought it was going to happen, but semi-finals, baby. We made it. We made it. England, never in doubt. Never in doubt. We're going to be there. We're going to be there. Final, New York. We're there.
England will play Argentina on Wednesday. On to cricket, and Kent's men have had a disappointing end to their T20 campaign. They lost by 14 runs to Middlesex at Canterbury in their final group stage game. It followed Friday's defeat to Surrey, which left them unable to reach the knockout stages. And Kent's women's team say they're proud of their performance in the T20 Blast League 2 finals day. They were beaten by Gloucestershire in the eliminator after finishing on 93 for 9, 66 runs behind their opponents. Glamorgan went on to win the final. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.